The New Testament book of Titus, chapter 2. Dave Everett, one of our fathers, is going to come and read the scripture for us. David?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, David.
As we turn to our scripture in Titus, the New Testament, may I share with everyone that our fathers out there, may this be a blessed Father's Day. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Scripture is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves or much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so, train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Ends our word from God's word.
Thank you, David. I should be finishing now, but I'm just starting. But I have to share this. I think there's some feedback, okay, Chris? He'll get it in a second. I want to start with a question. When you think about your father for a moment. A few of you probably don't, or maybe don't even know who your father was or is or whatever. But when you think about your father, what comes to your mind? Think about that. What comes to your mind when you think about your father? My father died at 59 years of age of a heart attack in 1974. For most of my growing up years, till the time I was 15, my father was an alcoholic gambler. I lived in about 15 different places from the time I was born until I was 15, and never any further than a 10 or 12 mile radius, all because of alcohol and gambling. But I'll tell you, when I think of my father, that's not the number one thing that comes to my mind. I certainly learned to respect my father, even with his alcohol and gambling problems earlier in my life. What do you think about when you think of your father? What will your children and grandchildren think about you, fathers? What kind of legacy are you leaving your children and your grandchildren? Really, we all leave one. We all leave one. A legacy is what you pass on to your children by way of the kind of father and person you have been in their minds, in their eyes, and throughout their life. And of course, that's true for both men and women. We leave a legacy, and because today is Father's Day, we're focusing on men and fathers. But every man leaves a legacy. Every man leaves a legacy. Sad that we could listen in on some of the media things of sports stars and movie stars and political stars, if you want to call them that, over the last few years. They have crashed and burned in the kind of legacy that they have left. And I'm not here to name names in those arenas of life, but I'm sure some come to your mind. What kind of legacy does the Lord Jesus Christ want us to pass on to our children? Boy, that is a heavy thing on my heart. Has been ever since I've become a Christian. What kind of legacy would I leave with my kids? Begs the question, though, does the Bible have anything to say about this very, very important subject? Oh, yes, it does. And this morning we have turned to Titus chapter 2, and specifically verses 6 through 8. Those passages provide us with some very specific and practical instruction on a father's legacy. The context of those verses is leadership. You know, it's about men and women, but we're focusing on the men, of course. But it's for all of us, men and women. I believe there that we can find some dynamic qualities that every father needs to pass on to his children as his legacy to them. Now keep in mind, we will pass on a legacy. Is it one that will please the Lord Jesus Christ? So this material really is for all of us, but it is going to focus primarily on men. The Apostle Paul is writing to Titus, and he refers to him in this passage in verse 4 as his true son, meaning a spiritual son. So there's some qualities that I think every father must pass on as a legacy. And this involves choices that we have to make with life. Here's the first one. The legacy of being an encourager. Now I know that some of you may jump to some quick conclusion and say, hey, that's great. Fathers need to encourage their kids, you know. And I'll admit that if I were to go back and raise all of my grown married kids all over again, probably one thing I would do would be to offer them a lot more praise than I did. But it's not just that's not just what this passage is about. Verse 6 says, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Encourage does mean to give hope and confidence. Self-control means to be disciplined in one's choices in lifestyle, in one's total life. Self-controlled means to be disciplined in one's choices in lifestyle and in one's total way of life. Men who are leaders, that's the context of this passage, including fathers with their children, are to be encouragers to those, their children, to live a God-pleasing life, to become a mature follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. That's probably the heartbeat of what this passage is about. Men who are leaders, including fathers with their children, are to be encouragers of their children to live God-pleasing lives and that those children will become mature followers of Jesus Christ. Therefore, fathers, with that context, are you encouraging your children? Are you encouraging them to be self-controlled, to become mature followers of Jesus Christ, to make choices that are pleasing to God? That's a heavy deal, isn't it? It's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility, but it has a very dynamic and vital part of our legacy to them. I asked earlier, when you think of your father, what do you think about? And I shared just a brief little thumbnail thing about my father. My father never, ever said he loved me. I don't hold that against him. My father never, ever talked to me about Jesus. Well, my mother did, but my father didn't. And all the other things that a father should talk about. To encourage, meaning we are giving hope and confidence, flows through the channel of our being motivators for our children. To be motivators of our children. To encourage rides on the wheels of motivation. Are we motivating / encouraging them to be everything that Jesus wants them to be? And if you walk away and you take away anything this morning, I want you to take away that challenge. Are we motivating and encourage them, our children, to be everything that Jesus wants them to be? It is so easy to slip into, well, I want to encourage my child to go to school. I want to encourage them to get good grades. And I want them to go off to college or get a job and find a wife or a husband. And I want to encourage them in all that. And that isn't enough. Not that those things are bad. And certainly that should be there. But that's not enough. Are we encouraging and motivating them to be everything that Jesus wants them to be? Psalm 127. Make a note of that. Verses 3 through 5. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, illustrates this with the metaphor of our children being arrows. Now, that really hit me a number of years ago when I read this passage. And being a bow hunter for a number of years, the arrows really got me. Now, listen to the... I want to read just a portion of that. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from Him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Are sons born in one's youth? Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gates. Oh, do I love that. Now, I have to confess, I think I've shared this with Connie. She's downstairs with the kids. You can tell her later. But I am toying with another tattoo. And I'm thinking about, you know, I used to bow hunt, arrows, quiver, putting my four kids' name tattooed on my right hand, fingers. If not that, I want to get four arrows with their names on my arm. You know, wouldn't that be neat? I haven't done it yet, but I'm thinking about it. But I love that passage because my arrows are my oldest son, Mark, my oldest daughter, Dawn, my son, Tim, and my youngest daughter, Suzanne. Those are my arrows. And I love it. Now, of course, it involves their spouses and their children and their children that have gotten married and their children. Yes, we have 7 great-grandkids. But arrows depict weapons to be used in advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it involves spiritual warfare. I wonder how many of you fathers see your children as arrows that are to be used in waging spiritual warfare, and not just going to school and getting an education, a nice job, and moving into that nice little white 3-bedroom ranch house down the street for you. But do you see your children as arrows? That you shoot them out of the quiver to make an impact for Jesus Christ. Fathers, what are you doing with your arrows that the Lord has given you? That is a vital question. Are you keeping them safe in the quiver? Are you encouraging them, preparing them, motivating them to be powerful vessels in waging spiritual warfare and proclaiming the gospel to all the nations of the world? See, fathers leaving a God-pleasing legacy will encourage their children to be arrows for Jesus and you'll be a motivator. And you'll do nothing to hinder them. You will motivate them. You will pray for them. You will encourage them. I'm telling you, this is the best life and lifestyle that they can ever choose. Amen. It may not be the safest. It may not be the most affluent. But it will be where God wants them to be. A father's legacy to his children means that he will be an encourager, that they would become mature followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second one, time's going fast, but that's okay, right? The legacy of being an example. Verse 7, Paul writes to Titus, his spiritual son, in everything set them an example. Every father is an example to his children without even trying. If you do nothing, you're an example to your children. And every child needs a role model. Every child needs a hero. And again, all those that have crashed and burned, we could go into the sports arena, into the political arena, into the Hollywood movie arena. Fathers, what kind of example are you being to your children? And I don't have to say that phrase too strongly. I know that it's already there on most of our hearts. But the challenge of Titus chapter 2, verse 7 is in everything. Wow. In everything. And what's included in everything? Everything. Everything. Fathers, are you an example to your children in everything? Now, I want to put some flesh on that to make sure that we really come to grips with this and say, yeah, this is what this is really all about. And I picked a couple categories that I just want to throw out at us. We're to be an example in our relationships. First, father's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your kids, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe me or not, your kids are watching your relationship to Jesus Christ. Are you becoming a mature follower of Jesus Christ? Your kids are watching your prayer life. They're watching your spiritual passion and your fervor for Jesus. That becomes part of your legacy. Also, your relationship to your wife or their mother, their mom. I know there are exceptions and things that happen with divorce and death of spouses and so forth. But let me speak very generally. How do you treat your wife? Do your kids know that you love and cherish their mom? You say, well, Pastor, of course I do. Your kids are watching how you relate to your wife. They're watching how you live for the Lord Jesus in your relationship to your spouse. Your sons, they're watching you because what you're telling them by your lifestyle to your wife, their mom, is this is how they want to grow up and treat their spouse. They have no other role model. Your daughters are watching you because they're going, this is how a husband's to treat his wife. They have no role model. Also involves your relationship to the church. Your children are watching how you live for the Lord and using your gifts, your supernatural spiritual gifts for the building up the body of Christ in ministry. They're looking to you as a role model for building up that body of Christ. Or is church simply a duty? A place that you go for an hour on Sunday, you feel good, you know, you kind of get recharged and that's it, and see you later. It also involves your relationship to the world. The world of the unchurched, the non-Christian. Your children are watching you as to how you share your faith and whether you're involved in making disciples. You think, well, no, Pastor, my kids aren't worried about that. They're watching you, though. They know if you have a passion for evangelism. If you have a passion for what's going on outside these four walls of people that are lost and need to know Jesus Christ. Also, we need to leave the legacy of our habits. This is all under being an example of our habits. There are good habits, prayer, worship, ministry, the disciplines of the Christian faith. And then there are bad habits. Do I have to mention language? Anything that you might be addicted to? TV, internet, substance abuse, list could go on. Your kids are watching your life. The legacy that you leave by the example that you set. What about the example when it comes to your time and your treasures? Are you an example to your children as to how to manage their finances? What to do with their money? They're watching if you put the Lord Jesus Christ first with your time and your treasure. They're watching that, I'm telling you. The Father's legacy involves being an example of his relationship to Jesus Christ, his relationship to his wife, the children's mother, to the church, to the world of non-Christians, and then an example with his habits and his time and his treasure. One more area of legacy, the legacy of being a teacher. This might seem very strange, but verse 7, Paul says, in your teaching, all mature Christian men, fathers included, will have a teaching ministry in the church and with their children. All will have this ministry. Fathers, are you teaching your children? And what are you teaching them? Are you teaching your children? Meaning, are you proactive? Are you intentional in teaching your children? And then, what are you teaching them? We're talking this morning about a God-pleasing legacy. And that includes being a teacher. And that might seem strange to some of you. But this is your responsibility first, not mine, as their pastor. It is not their Sunday school teacher or their kids' church teacher's first responsibility. It is yours as a father. It's not primarily the public school or private school that they attend to learn math and English and their ABCs. That's primarily your concern. So if your child makes it to the 10th grade and they barely can able to read or write, don't blame it on the school. It starts with us as fathers. And if we had about an hour this morning, we could deviate right here and go into the statistics of what happens, especially to boys and, yes, even girls, where there is a no dad, no father, or a deadbeat dad, or an I don't care dad, or an irresponsible dad. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 gives us some clues as to what should be taught and how it should be taught, done. Verse 1. Catch this. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Did you catch that? We're not talking baby food here. As fathers of what we teach our kids. And I know when they're 4 or 5 years of age, we go at that level. That's just understood. But some of our great times at our family, and you could talk to Tim, who's here, Suzanne's in Maryland, my other kids pop in now and then. And we've had some great times around the table talking theology, right, Tim? Great doctrine. I mean, we never get into fights. I don't think so, but close. Because our kids have grown up learning to talk about spiritual things. Sound doctrine, dads. Are you teaching your kids sound doctrine? Not knowing how or what is no excuse. It is your responsibility and part of the legacy that you're passing on to your kids. This means that you will be a student of sound doctrine in order to teach sound doctrine. And you will be a student of theology and biblical hermeneutics and how do you interpret scripture. You will become a student of that in order to teach that to your kids. And you will have a passion for knowing and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ, the Bible and creation and all the wonderful things that God's Word gives us. You will also teach integrity, verse 7. Integrity means honesty and not hypocrisy. Your children can smell hypocrisy a mile away. And it is my contention, if there's anything that kids need and why the 18 to 25s have left the church so often, is they are fed up with hypocrisy in the church in relationship to Jesus Christ. And people, they want genuine, authentic Christianity. And we have to teach integrity. We also need to teach seriousness, verse 7. Seriousness means that this must be seen as a very serious and top priority matter. This is sound doctrine in the church and sound doctrine to our children. Verse 8, teach soundness of speech. Teach soundness of speech. How do you communicate with your kids? Now, I'm the real nice, easygoing parent, and Connie's the yeller. Oh, she's going to get that right away, right? Somebody's going to run and tell her. Now, I've done my share of yelling, too. But Connie's more of the yeller. But how do you communicate to your children, fathers? How you communicate is a form of teaching. Are you getting, or are they getting their total education simply from the school system? Oh, just leave it up to the school. That's their job. Where do they learn manners? Where do they learn ethics and morals and values and all those? I'm telling you, it starts with dad. You dads can't push it off on the mom. It starts with you as dads. Who teaches them about not being lazy and slothful and irresponsible? Kids need chores. And chores that they don't necessarily get paid for. I think Tim will tell you, Saturday was clean house day for our family and wash clothes. I've shared this, but some of you probably have missed it over the years, but our kids learned to wash their own clothes from the time they were 12. Tim says it was younger. Maybe that was our form of discipline for Tim, I don't know, but at least 12, they were washing their own clothes. And it didn't matter if Tim washed the whites with the blue jeans, that was his choice, he had to wear them. And if he pulled them out of the laundry basket or off his floor, he had to wear them to school. But they had chores. They had to clean the bathroom. They had to vacuum. They had to empty trash. They had to do dishes. And it wasn't simply because Connie, my wife, and their mother said do it. They knew that I was captain of the ship. She was just the commanding officer. And she was just following my orders. Three qualities every father must pass on as a legacy to his children. Let's summarize. Being an encourager and a motivator to become, you motivate your kids to become a mature follower of Jesus. The legacy of being an example in everything. That includes their relationship to Jesus Christ, the relationship to your wife, to their mom, to the church, to non-Christians, and an example by their habits, the use of their time and their talents and treasure. And the legacy of being a teacher. Teaching them sound doctrine, integrity, serious of all this, their ability and how they communicate and what you teach them. Fathers, are you leaving this legacy to your children? I had to learn the hard way. My father did not leave that legacy with me. He left me some good things, but he did not leave this as a legacy. So when I think of my father, I don't think of these things. These are things that I have learned only as the Lord has taught me. You will leave a legacy. Is it the one that Jesus wants for your kids? Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can call you Father. It's all because of you, Jesus. We worship you, and we leave here today. Thank you for this wonderful time that we could share, these songs, the music, the singing, the praise, your word. let us breathe in your presence today as we enjoy your presence and your Shekinah glory. Amen. We're dismissed.